Welcome to Category 5 Coffee Break. To my left is, whatever it is Doug. Give us a wave, Doug. Thank you, sir. Below him, we've got Solbu. Give us a wave, Solbu. Thank you very much. And then I'm BP9. Greetings, everybody. I've had some fun and games. As you saw from last week, my audio and video completely messed up on my old Samsung phone. Oh, I shouldn't have mentioned the brand, I suppose, but it doesn't matter. It is an old phone. I've had it for years and years and years. And as I usually do, I keep my stuff until the wheels fall off. I keep running it till the wheels fall off. Uh-oh, your green background is bleeding through there, Solbu.
Yeah, I'm trying to fix that.
Not working so well, yeah. I need to mess with my background. I want that bird that Marshman's got going on, but trying vainly, you know, without fail to try to get across the screen over there. I want to see that. But anyway, so I'm on a computer now, so I'm trying out the computer to see what happens there. It seems like the video and the audio sounds okay. Just verifying it sounds all good to you guys. Yep.
Sounds great to me.
No echo, no reverb, nothing like that.
No echo.
Okay. No echo. I'm getting, very funny, Solbu. I'm hearing echo, but I'm hoping it's a local problem. I'm hoping it doesn't come through on the recording. We'll see what happens. So I've got a new phone coming as well. It's supposed to be there by now, so I'll probably go up to the post office this afternoon and see if I can go get it. So otherwise, that's my news. Solbu, you're going to hate this because the laptop's running Windows. I know you don't like Windows. I am not quite so rabid about not running Windows. There is one problem with this laptop. I tried to transplant my 2.5-inch hard drive. It's a SSD, but it's a SATA drive. Tried to transplant it from my other laptop into this one. The BIOS does not recognize it. I don't know why. Huh. It's a known good drive. It works just fine, but the BIOS doesn't recognize it. So I don't know what's going on with that. We'll have to figure that out and see what's going on. So I've got all kinds of new tech. Coming through. I'd like to get the hard drive, the SATA drive working on this. And if I can't get it to work, I guess I'll have to, call the manufacturer and tell them, hey, how do I fix this? So do you two have any suggestions about making the BIOS recognize the drive?
Did you try updating your BIOS?
I did not. It's a fairly new machine. I don't know. I think the BIOS is up to date, but you're right. I could certainly try that.
Once you get in the BIOS, you could also check that the an additional drive is not deactivated in the BIOS because it was maybe never meant to have another hard drive.
There's a slot for it. There's a setting for it. It's supposed to detect it automatically as soon as it goes in, but it just is not. It's just not detecting that that drive, and I don't know why. I don't care if it won't boot from it. Well, I do care. Obviously, I want it to boot, but I don't expect Windows to recognize the drive at all. I need for the BIOS to see it so that at least it will have the opportunity to boot. Now, it does have a little M2 SSD inside it right now, the little card type drive, and it recognized that. It knows it's there, obviously, because that's how it came delivered. I'm almost wondering if I pull that M2 drive out, whether that will work any better, if it'll force it to go look at the...
I think I've had this problem 15 years ago on a system back in the day when 5 or 6 gigabytes hard drive was still a big deal.
Okay.
It was common back then. We were fitting a friend of mine, I think, was fitting a system It was back at my place, and we were trying to install a second hard drive.
Mm.
The system wouldn't see it. So we deactivated it in BIOS and then booted up just to see what would happen. Linux was installed on that drive.
Mm. Mm.
And even if the drive was deactivated in BIOS, Linux could still see it and could use it. I think the drive was 115 gigabytes.
So the M2 has Windows 10 home on it, which is what I'm using now. Sorry, Shelby. And the I have to give you a hard time because Marshman did too. So so what I want to do is make it dual boot.
Yeah. What you can try is if you have a Linux Mint live CD or a live...
Sure. Yeah, I got 100 of those.
Yeah, and start up the system, boot up with that and see if Mint can see both drives.
Well, for that, the only way that would work would be if I could plug the CD player into the USB port. Then it would have to boot off the USB port, right?
Or you could put the ISO on, dump it to a USB flash drive, and just boot from the flash drive.
Well, either way, though, it has to boot off USB, whether it boots off the actual physical.
Yeah, and in most systems, there is you might have to activate something in the BIOS, but. If there is a most BIOSes, you can configure. It used to be the standard that when you boot it up, there was a pause between 2 and 5 seconds, which right. told you to press this to go to BIOS and press that to go. And one of the keys, I think F12 on many systems, it will give you a boot menu of what device to boot from, and USB is one of those. But the USB flash drives, they are... you have to select a hard drive because they are recognized as, yeah.
Yeah, yep, yep. I'll try that.
The only obstacle at that point could be that if Secure Boot is activated, that it might not...
I've already disabled Secure Boot in the BIOS, so yeah. there's also some kind of a system monitoring or system location setting in the BIOS. I shut that down real quick as well.
I remember when Secure Boot had been around for 2 years, I think. Stallman had a talk, and in the QA and in the question session afterwards, someone asked him about his opinion on Secure Boot, and he thought it was a dangerous idea. It could be used. It turned out it wasn't as dangerous. It wasn't used for lockdown or other OSs. Mm. But one of the other questioners behind him and him again, they said that he quite fancied the idea of having a system where he could actively deny a Microsoft system from booting up a certain system.
Works both ways, though, doesn't it, right? So, yeah. Nice. Yeah. As I say, I am not rabid about... I'm not so rabid about whether I can run Windows on the machine or not. Don't like Windows, but if I have programs that need Windows to run because there's no Linux equivalent, I don't have a lot of choice. I did the same thing with my aviation software. There is a package called ForeFlight, and it only runs on iPad. So I don't have a lot of choice. My only option then is to run an iPad. So that is what it is. So Mr. Doug, what sort of trouble have you been getting? I mean, what else have you been up to?
Well, the saga of my RP Raspberry Pi continues.
Okay, what's going on with it?
Robbie suggested trying to change the date on it, force it to have a new date, and I tried to log in.
I wasn't sure that would work, but how did it go?
Well, I tried to log into Ubuntu, and it didn't recognize my login, although I had been in it before successfully. suddenly it doesn't recognize my login. So I think the SD card got corrupted.
Oh, no.
So now I got to get a new SD card. I tried reflashing it. Windows didn't recognize it after I reflashed it. Yeah. Okay. So I think the SD card got corrupted, or the flash.
Did you try FDisk on the? Did you try FDisk on the SD card to see if you could? What FDisk does?
Think about that.
Creates the partitions and stuff.
So. I think about FDisk in terms of hard drives, not portable media.
Well, they're still, as Solbu's already mentioned, they're still drives.
Yeah, yeah. So, they're still looked at as drives.
I don't think they emulate a floppy disk. I think they're more likely to emulate a hard disk. So,
but
I think they will. They will always show up in lsblk blk command.
I already threw out the
list block.
Already threw out the SD card, so.
In that case.
Yeah, I'll just buy a new one.
Well, I hope you physically destroyed it. You didn't just throw it in the garbage, did you?
Well, there's nothing on it other than an unreadable OS.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You'd be surprised at what hackers can retrieve.
So well, I had.
Hope there's nothing personal on it.
I reformatted it a couple of times before I tried reflashing the OS. So I don't think there's anything readable on there.
Okay. All right, good. The other thing you could have tried as well, there's a utility that lets you physically check the size of the drive by writing to it until it gets to the end of the drive. I forget the name of it, and I think it's a Linux utility now that will test the size of the drive to see if it really truly is. Check one of Robbie's old Cat5 TV episodes, because he talks about those, and Amazon. Mm. You know, an SD card that you got from Amazon that says it's 16 gig or something, but it turns out only to be 4 gig or so when you actually test it. eBay's good for that too. They're rife those fake SD cards.
No, I bought this from Walmart. It said it was a 32 gig drive, and when I tried to format it, it recognized it as 29 point something gigabytes. So
that's about right, because you always lose some space in formatting.
Right, because it has a little bit of an OS of its own.
It's just the amount of space used by the formatting procedure.
Right.
Yeah, so, I remember back when the floppies were still widely used. I was always intrigued by the fact that
you mean this?
Yeah.
I know what that is.
Uh-huh. It's a 3D printed. It's a 3D printed save icon is what that is.
Yes. I remember labels on those used to say.
There you go. Now that's old technology right there.
Sure, it sure is. Yeah. Yeah.
On the old floppy drive, floppy diskettes 30 years ago, the ones that you have, and the capacity was listed as 2 megabytes.
Oh, wow. Is that a zip disk?
No, this is a Trevan 8 gigabyte tape.
Oh, okay.
I haven't used these in ages.
The only tape drive I ever had was a tape recorder that I had connected up to my Atari 8-bit computer one time.
Like a cassette?
For a while, until I got a disk drive.
Yeah, right.
Yep. By the way, I can tell you. Suddenly you didn't have
a computer
in there before the
game loaded.
But floppy drives that was used all until 20, 15 years ago, until most people didn't know what they were. The labels on 30 years ago, at least, the label on them said 2 megabytes, and it also said that the formatted capacity was 1.4.
Yeah, 1.4.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a lot of space used.
Yeah, it was.
Formatting process. Youch.
And
well, I remember
5 or 10 years after that I noticed that then they stopped listing the actual capacity and just the formatted capacity.
I can remember when the floppy drive, that 3.5-inch floppy drive, was 1.4 gigabyte.
That's true. What? Wait, gigabyte? No, megabyte.
Was it Megabyte?
Yeah. It was only Megabytes.
Confusing my terms here.
That would be pretty impressive, a 1.4 gig floppy disk.
But it was a while ago.
Yeah.
Well, these are 1.4, I think, or maybe.
Windows saw it as 1.4 anyways.
Yeah, it says it's, let me see if I can do this without messing up, but there it is. Formatted for 1.4
Yeah, there you go, 1.44 megabyte, yep.
Yep.
I used to have some of those. I still have it, actually.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I got nothing to read.
Don't have a drive that will read them, though.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
I noticed that I've forgotten a part of the label. I think in today's young people will look at the floppy drives and think that what is this PlayStation 2 compatible?
Something to put their coffee cup on, you know.
Yeah, but the label it says the PS/2, and most people, young people today, will imagine PlayStation 2.
Yeah, that's a good point. Those were the days. So inside this laptop is a space for a 2.5 inch spinning drive or SSD, complete with the SATA connector that goes with it. And then there's a little ribbon cable that just runs straight to the motherboard. Well, surprisingly, looking inside this thing, it's not much different to the Pinebook Pro, I'm here to tell you. It has a dinky little main board. There you go. Dinky little main board. But mostly air inside this thing. There's a dinky little main board and some subboards and just ribbon cables that connect them all together. So it's very surprising how small the technology has gotten these days. But it still won't recognize my SATA drive, so I got to figure something out with that.
Well, another thing that you can try that I just thought of, you know, that you mentioned you have another.
Oh, I'm open to all kinds. Whatever ideas you've got, I'm open.
Take the existing drive and plug it into the other, just to see if that works on that connection, provided it is the same type of drive.
So the existing drive is an M2 card, not a SATA drive. There's only room for one SATA drive in here. If I take the SSD and plug it into an adapter, that's a SATA adapter on one end and a USB plug on the other end, I can plug it into this. It'll spin it right up, no problem at all. So Windows and this PC will recognize, this laptop will recognize the SATA drive. It works. The SATA drive works. It just won't work through that cable to the main board. And I don't know if the cable's bad or what the deal is. So.
Is the cable part of the computer, or can you replace it?
I can replace it. I'd have to buy another one from the manufacturer.
Yeah, so. I'd definitely try replacing that cable.
Yeah.
Well, it came with the machine. It was already there. It was all ready to plug in. So,
yeah.
So I agree with you. That would be the first step, would be to try replacing that cable and see what happens.
That's what I would do.
And if that doesn't work, send it back and say, all right, fix it.
What brand is the computer?
It's a Dell.
Okay. Well, they're usually pretty good.
I suspected so as well. I've had good luck with Dell. This is the first time I've had a problem with it. And all I can think of is that there's some misconfiguration. But one of the things I do want to try is to probably take out the coin battery to reset the BIOS completely to a fresh BIOS.
Yeah, yeah.
Then take out the M2, the little card.
Yes.
And then put the SATA inside it.
Yeah, make that the only OS.
Right. Make it the only drive that it can boot from. See if it recognizes that.
Yep. And Dell's usually easy to work on too.
Yeah, they are. That's why
some of the easiest computers I've worked on.
Yeah. I've had good luck with them. So it was rather disappointing to not be able to boot Linux on it. So
right.
We'll see what happens. So, Boo, what have you been up to? Oh, well, firstly, Doug, did you ever resolve your Raspberry Pi issues? Because we started talking about something else.
No, I threw out the SD card. I got to buy a new SD card.
Okay.
Reflash it and try again.
Yeah. Wow. You are just having all kinds of issues with that, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. No, I'm sorry.
When I get my stimulus, maybe I'll go buy an Odroid or something.
There you go. There
see if that
go.
Works better.
Yeah, that'll work.
So certainly couldn't work any worse.
Yeah.
We should have a minute of silence in memory of his old drive.
Yeah. No. Nah, I don't think so. All right, Solby, what sort of trouble have you been getting up to in Neelix's kitchen over there?
He had given me some delicious dinner, spaghetti and...
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So... today I have been my friend who has this big server on our shared server. We have a few VMs. On one of them, he has an Nextcloud instance. We upgraded, reinstalled from scratch, and he wanted to have a new kind of setup now that he know how it works and what he wants. So I've been updating to his newest Nextcloud version. So
this is Nextcloud running on your local machine, on a local machine,
on a server, on a computer in a data center. Where the Nextcloud runs in a virtual server on our server.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. But it's your hardware.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's better than using someone else's computer anyway. I guess that was the point I was trying to make. I wanted to make sure it was not someone else's computer that you were actually dealing with.
It used to be his computer, but we shared on the monthly bill. And now we, 5 years ago, we upgraded to a faster server. Now we own half each, and I pay all the bills. So.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right.
I'm getting up in the world.
Yeah, there you go. So it's in a data center, so you have easy access to the internet. Is that why? Or is it just it's managed better than you could at the house, I guess?
Yeah, it is my friend. Back in 2004 and 2005, we used to have shell accounts on other server providers where we used to run IRC clients in order to be and I run a couple of egg drops and so on. And
okay,
paid for that. And one of the cool things about these kinds of servers was that they had one of them, I think, had 100 IP addresses that we could select from.
Wow!
And, and they had host names and PTR records associated with them.
Nice.
But almost all of the host names on those IP addresses was curse words and sexual. Yeah, so his dream was to have to start some type of server along those lines and have IP addresses where without obscene names.
Were they English curse words or were they Swedish curse words or Norwegian?
Norway. A combination.
Oh, nice.
one of the most used domains, it was on Norwegian, but it translates loosely to the sex school. So,
nice.
And with all kinds of subdomains, and so we didn't. He didn't want to use that for too long.
So I've been looking a little bit into running my own mail server, and it's complicated. Yeah. A lot to it. This is not something you want to do lightly. This is something that you should think carefully through before you actually do it.
You have to know what you're doing.
Yes, you do. How long did it take you to get yours set up?
Oh, about a year.
Wow! What?
From the time you decided to do it to the time it started working properly.
No, it took a year for me to learn how it worked, and when I knew how it worked, then I moved it in house.
And so what?
I started with a mail server called SendMail. which but I knew that it was unreliable. But I only used it to send mail and out.
I guess you're now using like Postfix, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So after 3 months, I switched to Postfix when I knew that there was an.
But there are a lot of moving parts to it. That's the thing that, that sort of surprises me. There's like three or four, if not more, separate services that actually run to move pieces of mail from one place to another. But even so, that doesn't get you a POP server for you to retrieve your mail back to your Thunderbird or whatever it is that you're using for your mail client.
Yeah, for that you have to have the one I use is something called Dovecot.
Dovecot, yeah. I think I saw that in the repositories, in the Linux repositories that I was using, and I wondered if that was the appropriate one to use. Okay.
The hard thing about hosting, hard thing to get right when you're doing this at home or at your own system is get the certificates right, because you have to have a public valid certificate.
Okay.
After Let's Encrypt came, a year after they came, we installed that on our server. So we have had that for 4 years now. And that's Let's Encrypt takes care of installing in the web server software. And I found out a way to configure that anytime that a certificate is updated, then this is part of the Let's Encrypt
right.
Then I configured, I made a shell script to copy to restart three services.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like I need to pick your brain some more. Maybe we'll do that next week and at the next coffee break. We are running out of time. Oh, I cannot believe how quickly time flies when we do the coffee break.
Seems to happen right. Quickly.
It sure does. It sure does.
For some reason, I always picture Peter in my head, the head in the end.
I don't know where one, Peter... I don't know where Peter went today. He's not here today.
You had a time zone change.
But I gave him plenty of warning. I put it up there. I said hour and a half away, you know, got another.
Yeah, but if he is used to only looking in maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah, maybe he'll come by in about half an hour or so.
Yeah, but my point was that every time that we are near the end and you said that we have to hurry up, I have had this voice in my head, Peter. At one instance, he said, "It's always 1 minute." So, if you see this, Peter, we missed you today.
Yeah, sorry, Peter. Okay, Doug, any last comments before we close this down?
No, I'll let you guys know about Ubuntu next week.
Please do. I hope you have better luck with the new SD card than. Than the one you threw out.
So do I.
yeah. Good luck with that.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Much appreciated. Enjoyed it as always. And as you say, it goes quick. So have a good afternoon. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.